cliffcentral.com. No one on the corner has
swagger like us. Yeah, you know what time of the day it is. You know what time of the week it is. This is the weekly mashup only on Cliff Central. Today, I am not exactly rolling solo, but my beautiful co-host is not here, so I got an upgrade. I'm with Simpiwe. How are you doing, girl?
I'm good, and you?
Good. Candace is just going to miss out. Today, we're talking about a number of things, so if you'd like to be part of the conversation, make sure you WhatsApp us on 079-784-2090. Just to give you that WhatsApp number one more again, if you missed it the first time, it's 079-784-2090. So what's been happening in your week, Sims?
Work. Okay. And work.
What did you do for the big V-Day?
I came to work. All right. And after work, I went home and chilled with the family.
Okay.
Oh. Were you expecting something else?
It's a big Valentine's Day, and I was expecting that maybe you would go do something exciting and romantic and expensive and fun that ends with the other V getting some action.
No, I do not partake in Valentine's Day. I think it's just a day that's like, it's overdone. So no, I chill.
Oh, okay.
I'll do something on the 15th.
I just find like the Valentine's thing has become a situation where basically you are forced to do something even if you don't have it. Because, you know, you can't force romance, like forcing love, right?
Yeah.
You can't legislate that. But by the way, in the studio, we also have Mkolisi here with us. Just say hello to the people, Mkolisi, so you can be part of the conversation.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
And Mkolisi is part of the David Sling Got Swagger brand. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm part of the brand.
All right, we're going to talk about that a little bit. But before we get into that, what did you do for Valentine's, man?
It's funny, we went to some place in Bad Plus in Mpumalanga, Aventura, me and my girl. Then okay. It started raining. It was hot in Nelspruit when we were driving. So when we arrived at the venue, it started raining.
Oh, okay. So what was the plan at the venue?
We wanted to go swim. You know, Nelspruit is hot, man.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes the conditions there are unbearable.
So instead, you ended up doing what in the rain?
We went to the hotel just to eat, then we went back. We really didn't enjoy. It was a mess.
So you didn't go into any hotel rooms while you were at the hotel on a rainy day?
No, we gotta keep
it clean, kids. You know, wait until you're married.
Yeah.
It's best enjoyed once you're married. I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
I agree.
That's my 2017 goal.
Amen.
Goals for 2017. I'm going to try the celibacy thing. So far, so okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long? How long has it been?
It's been quite a while, actually. A couple of months. More than a couple of months, in fact. And so far, I must say, it gets easier.
Yeah.
The first 2.5-3 months, I thought I was going to go crazy. I literally thought I was going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you go to a counselor?
You need to go to counseling before you go celebrate?
Counseling. It must be counseling.
Really? So they can let you know, like, expect that there will be days
when
you're going to be pulling your hair out. You're going to be hitting your head against the wall. Just like, make it stop. Make the pain stop. I tell you, you know, it's easier to get off, like, hard drugs than to get off sex, man.
Yo, to me, sure, you need to be prayed for, man.
No, please, by all means, I'm praying for myself, and I'm hoping you can pray for me, too. But I'm now better. I'm in a better place.
Yeah.
I think I found that nirvana spot, you know, where you're just like, what is, man? You know, what is?
We'll talk to you in a couple of months.
Yeah.
About this again.
Yeah. Please. I need accountability partners. So, you know, in the middle of the night on a Friday or a Saturday, if I call, I've been thinking about this girl.
And I'm going to be like, just be strong.
And she gave me a booty call.
Say no.
Hang in there.
Say no to the devil.
I want to go so
except to hang
she
in.
Sent me a WhatsApp.
Block.
She's not wearing anything.
Block. Got your back.
Thanks,
got it all.
So as you know, my V-Day, my Valentine's, my Valentine's Day, as they call it, Kokasi, was spent, like you, since you were at home, with the parentals. My mom's gone to Mozambique, so I was just chilling with my dad.
Nice.
We watched Planet Earth.
Heard about the tropical cyclone there. Did you hear about the tropical cyclone?
No. Is it on its way or is it come and gone?
Nah, it's coming. It's on its way. It's
Dude,
coming.
Don't say that.
Don't this be afternoon. Scaring us.
It's coming this afternoon.
It's trending on Facebook and Twitter.
What?
Yes.
Dineo, Hurricane Dineo.
Yeah.
Oh my lord. Where exactly is it going to hit? I must tell my mother.
Some
she
part
must...
of Mpumalanga in Swaziland. Yesterday I left Nelspruit. I went to Swaziland. Then the headlines were like, school must not will be closed today.
In
schools
in
Swaziland. In Swaziland.
Should be.
Schools are closed in Swaziland.
Shop.
Oh, we once had like one of those. Is it a tornado? What are they saying? Hurricane.
Mm.
We had something here. What was it? In Tembisa.
Don't yeah. ask me. I don't know.
Don't you remember when that thing happened, man? In Tembisa.
No.
And people were taking selfies with the hurricane. Like, tornado.
Now we are sure Tembisa. Really?
But,
no.
yeah. but I think some of those were just Photoshop. I don't believe in some of those things. Because I
really?
Saw a tail on the sky. I'm
no,
like,
but,
what is that?
But no, hang on a second, guy. Some of those guys don't look like they know how to use Photoshop. Like, he's like literally taking this. And I don't want to put people down who live in shacks. Because, like, I'm sure there are a lot of people who know stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he has software, you know what I mean? Let alone the data to be
black
Photoshopped.
People are creative,
yeah, but you know, black people are very creative. We must never underestimate, eh?
Yeah.
So yeah, I just feel like it's a bit commercialized now. You know, like I saw a really great sign at this restaurant where it said, if you bring your girlfriend, you get 20% off. If you bring your wife, you get 45% off.
And if you bring both, you get for free.
It's for free, yeah.
Wow.
And also a free transportation to the hospital.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that was great. You know.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
I would have tried that, but just my soon-to-be ex-wife is really not taking my calls.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That,
you can't do that.
I can't do that. Because it wouldn't have ended violently. It's like,
but you know,
it would have
been cool. I wanted to do that, but it was going to be staged. I was going to get my homie.
Yeah.
And
your other homie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we were going to be like, well, this is one big happy family. Give us the free meal.
they would probably ask for a marriage certificate, because that really happened, where a woman is with two guys.
Yeah.
And they're cool about it. No, yeah. Sorry, Dad. What you should have done, well, you should have got your girlfriend.
Okay.
Mm. And then taken an elder brother. Because you know what they say, once you're married, you start looking like you're related like that.
Yeah.
Take an older brother and older cousin.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You both wear like some sort of ring,
mm-hmm.
jewelry.
All right.
And then you and your girl go together. So what happens is you just say, no, this is the side chick, but in our culture, we don't call her that because, you know, we're traditional.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the new Makoti. I've already agreed, but we're
second
not at
wife.
That stage. Yeah, second wife, but it's just that at the moment we haven't paid Lobola yet. In fact, we must confuse people with that sort of thing.
I'm going to
reject
that.
But it's too late now. Valentine's come and gone.
Next year, it's fine.
Okay, try next year.
Free meal. It's a free meal. So,
what's been happening on Twitter? What's been trending on Twitter in the past couple of days, apart from the amazing Grammy Awards that happened on Sunday night? I watched the repeat.
I didn't watch that. But what was trending that got me like, hashtag we met on Twitter.
Hashtag we met on Twitter?
Yeah.
That's a hashtag?
Yeah, yeah.
But what does that mean? Like, if I hashtag you, we met on Twitter, does that mean we can now go on a date?
No. So people were sharing these stories that how one guy, he slid in the DMs, and he was like, I'm crushing on you. Girl was like, I'm crushing on you too. And they did the thing. They in a relationship. Some people are married. Some people are together.
Oh my goodness.
Hashtag we met on Twitter. I was
get the
just
heck
like,
out of
what?
Here. I should be hashtagging that.
I can imagine you telling the kids, Daddy, where did you meet mom?
DM.
On Twitter.
Yeah, but I mean, how are you supposed to do it nowadays? Like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna go on like Tinder. You're gonna go on. I'm not gonna call them all out.
Yeah.
Ashley Madison, Zeus.
Are you on them?
Well, not anymore. I met somebody on Twitter.
Isn't that a comeback, hey?
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, how are you supposed to meet people these days? I think Twitter is the perfect place to meet people.
Mm.
You are literally, in fact, social media. You're seeing someone's face. You're seeing who they hang out with.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're seeing where they went to school.
Yes.
You're seeing what job they do and what they do on the weekend.
And it's they mind.
And their minds, right?
Because
they're tweeting all the time.
Yes.
So you're getting to seeing their emotional being, their mental being.
Mm.
It's actually better than any other dating service. Because if you, Olisi, said to me, here's a nice chick for you, I think you guys should get together.
Mm.
I'm relying only on your opinion and the information you have.
Yeah.
But I cannot verify that information.
Yeah.
So 6 months down the line, I'm like, dude, she's a psycho. Yeah. How could you have done that?
It's not what I've been looking for. You know?
Right?
Yeah. With social media and technology, I think it has made things easier, but at the same time, difficult. More difficult. Because some people, they're not what they portray to be.
All right.
You know?
Okay.
Especially on social medias. You find someone is he's pretending as if he's a church goer or a Christian.
I love that. I think we should go into that for a second. Like, why would you pretend you're a Christian if you're not? Are you trying to get Christian girls? What's going on?
Yeah, they say that if you want to get a girl, the easiest way to get a girl is go to church. So if you're acting like a Christian,
but there's
brother,
some thirsty chicks in church, eh?
So hey,
you'll meet someone like you if you go to church. You're looking for someone who go to church.
Yeah, you. But I must say, I mean, you know, church, especially, you know, because I'm charismatic. I'm happy, clappy Christian. You know.
Okay. Yeah.
But I must be honest, hey. There's some chicks at church that are super thirsty. It's like you can meet a chick at church easier than you can get a chick at the nightclub.
Yeah. And Bootsy, church is for free. You just come there and you sit down, listen to the pastor, say amen, pretend to catch the spirit, be like, oh, I repent.
That's such a good idea, though.
And then next minute, this sister, I don't know.
Let's just say Sister Bettina, it's fine.
I was thinking that. I just don't want to say that.
Sister and Bettina just go together.
Yeah? And she's sitting right next to you and she's like, you look like a catch, you saved, you look good, you smell good.
Because you're in your Sunday best, on your Sunday best behavior. You know what I'm saying? And every now and again, like, especially at the end of the sermon, I find what helps, guys. I'm just letting you know. Get to know the pastor a little bit more personally if you're planning to catch a chick at church.
Okay.
So that at the end of the service, you can just be like, great message, pastor. And the message is like, hey, Dimisho, good to see you again. Boom!
You're in. You are in.
Anybody. You're in with the top notch at the church. You know what I'm saying?
You're connected. You're with the right people.
Yeah. But remember, you can't do anything until you're married. Okay?
Yeah.
That's why you're going to church.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're right. There are people who talk about their how do you say, their spiritual status on social media, which might not be 100% true. But wouldn't you say that those people are just trying? They're like trying to walk. You know when you're trying to it's almost like you fake it till you make it. So you're saying, I am this person. You're declaring it to the world. But like the rest of us, you're just a hopeless sinner. So every now and again, you just fall over. You know, it's not that you're not a Christian. It's just that every now and again, you know.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to judge people here, but I think character is everything.
Okay.
Character is everything. When you're busy portraying yourself to be a Christian there and you are not.
Not really.
Man, it's not right, you know. Especially once you discover, because 60% of the people that you find on Twitter or on a social network, you find that they are not what they were portraying to be.
Yeah, those Twitter files come out fast. Hey, yeah. Twitter FBI.
Yeah, because there's a Twitter FBI in South Africa, right?
Yeah.
But like there's the spiritual connection fakeness. We all know about the success or the material fakeness with that.
Yeah.
You know, there was a guy on Date My Family who was an installer of, like, you know, your MultiChoise or your DSTV. The DSTV installer.
Yes.
And he'd pose next to people's
cars,
like sports cars and houses and
stuff
like
that. Blessed and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
People called him out to be like, why are you taking a picture with my dad's car?
Yeah. Like, why though? Like, I don't understand that. Like, I can even understand faking the spiritual thing, but faking the money thing, you're going to be caught out and you're going to be called out so quickly.
Hey, guys, no. I don't know. We need to maybe talk to him because his story about where he comes from in general, he's just lying about everything. Like, he's lying about, you know, the accents and where they come from, when they come and go. Then he was lying about his lifestyle. So I think him as a person, he's just a liar. He just wants to live in this fantasy that, you know, looks all good, but can't do it all.
You know what I discovered when I was at varsity today at UJ is that everybody from maybe KZN, they all say they're from Durban. And people from Mpumalanga, they will say, I'm from Nelspruit. Only to find that they're living maybe an hour away from the big cities, you know. So they're claiming, people on Facebook, if you check, somebody will be saying, okay, I'm from Joburg. Then you ask, where in Joburg? They don't even know Joburg, you know. Dude. So, social media.
That's another step, because we're talking about faking the spiritual life and we're talking about faking the material life. People are faking where they actually live.
This is
deep, eh?
I'm from Fourways, but only to find this from Alexandra. There's nothing wrong with that, man. If you're from the hood, you tell people.
That's where you're from, right?
That's where you're from. You're representing that Kasi. So,
I think social media has gone to a point where people have misunderstood the whole point of it. It is really you're putting yourself out there, so you got to be prepared for that, right?
Yeah.
First of all, it takes a very mature person and someone who knows who you are to start the whole social media thing.
Yeah.
And then from there, you have to be mature enough to put the truth of yourself and be cool with it.
Yeah.
We all have ambitions. We all have goals. We all have places that we want to go.
Better accept yourself.
But it's best to accept where you are right now and who you are right now.
Yeah.
And if you're going to say something, you can talk about where you plan to go, but this is where I am right now, and that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
And looking at social media these days, Forex, these guys who are marketing Forex,
they will be taking
pictures next to Ferraris, Lamborghinis. They don't show the number plates because it's not the cars. So, man, there's a lot of things that are happening in social media.
This Forex thing, I've seen it a lot, especially on Facebook. Like, they're just pushing that whole Forex thing where there's the secret that billionaires never told you about. Watch this video before it's taken off online. All sorts of things like that. What's going on there?
I just feel like Forex is kind of like what the white collar side of how to make money very fast. You know,
Pyramid schemes.
Yes, it's just, more sophisticated.
It's white people's version of pyramid schemes.
I think so, because everybody is doing it, but then you wonder and you still question yourself, if I can be a billionaire tomorrow,
lose your money.
Why does this sound so good? It's too good to be true.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, y'all, do your thing, but the truth will come out.
I think you just said something there that's very poignant, and we must pause and just look at that. When something is too good to be true,
yeah,
what's the end of the sentence?
It is not.
It usually is.
It is
too good to be true.
It's not worth it. And I mean, you appreciate something when you worked hard for it. If you had, if it took you 6 months to get something, you are most likely going to look after that thing longer and maintain it. But if you get something now, you don't care if you got a million right now. You're gonna blow it in 3 weeks. It will be gone. So for me, it's just like, I'll see y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Yeah. See, with me, now, I don't like to invest in something that I don't understand, especially when there's no product that you're selling. You know, with this Forex trading, Forex, there's nothing, I really don't understand this thing. You know, it's easy when you're selling, say you're selling T-shirt, I see the product. But now, when...
what you do, by the way, yeah?
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah. I understand, you know, like, you know, it's not a service, it's a product.
Would you go into network marketing for the David Sling brand? Oh. Will you tell people, listen, you can become a David Sling reseller, and if you bring certain amounts of people onto the David Sling brand, you know there's what we call an administration fee.
We
set you up, we register you a company, whatever, and if you have like 10 people under your business,
then you get
a certain amount, and if you sell so many t-shirts, you get even more.
It's a powerful concept.
Why are we sitting here talking about it? We should be doing this. Who's writing the proposal?
You can.
No, guys, I am the visionary. I don't write proposals.
You can have all the intellectual property to that.
Okay.
Actually, that's what we are doing right now at different universities. We have people selling the David Sling t-shirt, then we give them commission. If you sell, there's a commission already.
Okay.
You know? So, yeah, man.
Tell me a bit about the name, David Sling. I find that quite interesting. And I'm not sure a lot of people are selling the brand know what the concept behind the name is about.
David Sling, I was inspired by the biblical story of David and Goliath. You know, what makes big brands? Big brands are all brands. Like, this story here, it's powerful. It's one of those stories, even if you are not a Christian, but it's historical. You know, it's something that happened over 2,000 years ago, you know. So, with that, you know, putting something positive. Actually, I started the brand back in 2009, just before the World Cup, you know, and I was like, you know what? We have Adidas, we have all these sport brands in South Africa, but we don't see something that is for us.
We don't have a South African sportswear brand.
Yes, we don't have a South African sport.
For us, by us, like a FUBU,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So, that's where I thought about this thing that, you know what, I saw a gap from there, you know, like, okay, let me come up with the David Sling brand. Why a sling? The sling is something that we can relate to. It's not the one that David was using, you know, the leather one.
Yeah. This one's more like a kitty.
Yeah. It's a kitty. Some they call it a kitty. So I've trademarked the kitty, decided that, you know what, let's go with this thing. I approached the guys at Safa.
Wow.
I was like, man, we gotta have something that is for us by us, like the David Sling. So yeah, I was inspired by that story.
How old were you at the time in 2009 when you started this brand?
2009.
Doing a quick calculation. What year were you born? So that we can do it for you. It's okay. I'll calculate for you.
88.
Oh, 88.
Yeah.
So in 2009, you were 19.
Yeah.
No, in fact, you were 21.
21, huh?
Yeah.
I feel so young right now.
Yeah.
Really? Yes. When were you born?
1995.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's your mother? You could be my daughter.
I was doing great one.
I see, because I'm noticing now, like, actually, you know what? Like, they're sent, like, the nose and the cheeks,
don't
I don't know.
That.
No, I don't know.
I don't want to be on Tatako.
I don't know, because, okay. You know, there's don't. Some people who need to come back to me for no. some of the things we did in 95. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. So you're 21 years old. You decide to start this brand. A lot of people don't even know about trademarking. I mean, I've been doing business for years, and it's not the first thing you think of, especially if you want to start a brand. How did you even know about trademarking and that sort of thing?
No, one of those people who like to network, you know, going to this celebrity basketball. I was telling people about the brand, and people were like, dude, you gotta be careful who you share your story with. But I wasn't afraid, you know. Fear is not part of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fearless, but it doesn't mean that I don't have boundaries, you know, the lines. You know, in life, there are lines that you should not cross. So for me, I was like, okay, right. They told me that they're going to steal my stuff. Then I made the research online. You know, now it's different. It's better than the 80s or what, you know. Even though I was born in the late 80s. But with social media, it made things easier. I was reading a lot, you know, about the guys in the States, because everything that is happening in the States is there online, you know. So I was checking how can I protect my brand. Then I found a link that was directing me to the DTI. Then I went to DTI. Back then it was 800 rand. It was cheap. I'm sure now it's expensive. And
it's really expensive now, especially if you go through a legal route. I mean, it's about 8,000 rands.
Yeah.
Just just to literally get a trademark. I mean, that's crazy.
Maybe if you go straight to the DTI. You
know, I should have done that.
Yeah.
I was lazy.
Yeah, that's the problem with outsourcing. When you're outsourcing and you get someone to do it on your behalf, then they charge you. Actually, I was
robbed. That's business, right?
I once got robbed there in Pretoria, you know, when I was registering.
At the GTI building?
Yeah.
What happened?
You find some guys there, you know, a lot of guys.
Oh, man.
It's busy there.
Yeah, tell us about that story. Yeah, they're like always like yeah, when you're trying to park.
We'll do it in an hour. Dude, you know, you're coming from, say, Nelspruit, it's 4 hours away from Joburg or Pretoria. Then you go there, you find the queue. It's long. The queues are, it's like when people are there in the
and
shop.
They don't tell you about these queues, ne?
No, you'll see the queues when you go there. They're always long, you know. And then like, dude, I will do it. I'm connected, you know. So us, we like connections, you know. You wanna be connected.
Nah. So what are they trying to do? Hook you up with a quick company registration?
He took my money.
But what was the sell? What was the hustle?
The deal was to get my stuff processed fast. You know?
For company registration or the trademark?
For company registration. No, the trademark, I did it myself. You know.
Online?
Yeah. No, not online. I went there, like, straight. It was easy process.
Okay.
You just go there, you ask those people, they'll direct you to the relevant department, you know, the right guys.
I'm
it's
coming
better
to you
to
for my
it,
next
man.
Trademark.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, sure. I'll do it. But I'm going to charge you, you know?
Hell no.
Yeah, sure.
After all the business mentoring, I should charge you.
He's learned now.
This guy, you know, these guys, they grow up and this is what they become. They become
like.
Sharks. You must be careful. You know, if you're raising a shark, when it grows up, you can't be angry at the shark that the shark bit you.
True.
You know what I'm saying? But anyway,
you should actually be proud.
I'm very proud.
That you have a young shark and you're like, did the damn
but shark,
thing.
Don't bite me. Okay.
Yeah,
so you went out there and you got your trademark.
Yeah.
Next step. Have you, at the point when you get your trademark, did you already have the branding? Did you already have the logos? Did you already know what you wanted? Because you can't just go there and say, I want to trademark Thin Air.
Yeah, I had the, you know, adversity, everything is around the corner. You have the guys who are doing IT, you have the guys who are doing business. So if you want a business plan, you go to the business school. You know, if you say you want the people to advise you with legal stuff, you go to the law school. So I went to the IT guys. I still got contact with them right now.
Okay.
I still have contact.
I mean, I love what you're saying. I'm going to cut you in again because every time you say something, it's really poignant. I want the listeners to understand this. Adversity.
Yeah, it's that's where it all started.
And I'm not putting down people who haven't gone to varsity. That's okay.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of resources when you're at varsity, because sometimes also when you're at varsity, you don't think like people who didn't go to varsity. You just think, I'm at varsity, I'm going to study what I study, and then I'm going to go get a job. And a lot of entrepreneurs didn't go to varsity, successful ones anyway. But yet at the same time, young people who are looking to get into business or to get a hand up, a leg up, even if they're not at varsity, they can go to varsity and approach their peers and actually start those relationships right there.
The people they normally charge. I know some guys who are designing website right now. It's cheap. It's better than going to a company, established company, some offices maybe in Sandton. You know, when you go there, they will do the very same things that these big companies are doing, but they're at a lower cost. So yeah, man, it's always good, you know, to always go around these different varsities, VETS or UJ, UP.
Essentially network.
Network with people. You'll get that service at a much, much lesser rate.
Do you find that there are a lot of young people that you interact with that are entrepreneurial, or would you say that you are someone who's like what we call a unicorn, one in a million?
Nah, I don't believe that. I believe we are all born entrepreneurs. You know, it's just that, and we are all gifted, you know. We are all gifted in a way. God give us talents, and it's just that some people, they bury theirs in the sand, you know. They don't want to wake hard, and they don't want to wake up in the morning, you know, to hustle. They don't have ambition. They don't have that thing, you know, to live for, to look forward to. When you wake up in the day, waking excited, reading books. Some people, they don't actually love even reading, you know. Reading, it broadens your mind, you know. It's open you see the world in a different way, you know. So yeah, I mean, I believe we're all born entrepreneurs. It's only that some people they fine with this 5 to 4 jobs, you know. I'm not discouraging that. It's always good. I also work for a company. I'm still working for a company while I'm doing this thing on the side. While, you know, you're getting yourself up, you know. Once you establish, then you can quit your job and you fully.
I think we all have what I like about what you just said. Now, we all have an entrepreneurial bone in our body somewhere. You got to find yours. You got to find your niche. You got to find where you fit in. Some people it's broader than others, but you got to find yours. And those people who probably will never really be entrepreneurs, when you have a job, you're still an entrepreneur. You're just an entrepreneur at someone else's big company.
Making millions.
You're not just there to sit and wait for a paycheck. Now, when you do that, then I have a problem with people who have a job just to sit there and wait for the paycheck at the end of the month. That's a job. That's nothing but work. But if you go to a place that you call a job, where you go and you think of yourself as, I'm an important member of the team, and I'm going to put in my 110%, just even if I'm just doing this one part, because without this one part, the others cannot function well. Then I have a lot of respect for people who wake up every morning and do what we call a 9 to 5. You know, because I don't think we all should, and we all can open businesses, and that's okay. But if you are in someone else's business, you better be doing something for that person. For yourself. Not even for that person, because at the end of the day, it's for yourself.
It's unfair, you know, to go to the job only to find that you sleep. You're stealing time, you know, with someone else's resources. You're wasting their time. So you better be fair, you know, in whatever that you're doing, you know. So if you don't feel like you're in the right place, it's always good, you know, to just discover what it is that gives you goosebumps, what it is that is pushing you, and focus on those, you know, focus on and just that, you know.
So what happened next after you've now trademarked the business, you've now set up a website, where did you source the items that you wanted to sell?
there at Varsity, I was also doing entrepreneurship. Then one of our lecturers asked us that we should do practicals, you know, start a business, you register the business, open a business account, you know, then you raise 30,000. If you fail to raise the 30,000, then you fail the subject. A lot of people fail. So
yeah, 30,000 is not Mickey Mouse money.
Yeah, did you pass?
Especially when, yeah, I did. We made that money, but we ended up fighting with my guys, you know, fighting for the money because they gave me 500. We went to Campus Square to open the business account. Mm-hmm. Then I printed the T-shirts. They were trending. People, they love the brand David Sling. They were buying the T-shirts, you know, selling like hotcakes, Baba. Yeah, so after that, we made a lot of money. I told these guys that they were loaning me the money, and at the same time, I'm going to give them the bank statement to show that we made the money. We all passed, but we ended up fighting, you know, fighting for the money because we raised more money. I didn't expect that, you know. What I like about Varsity is that it's a whole lot of different people from different backgrounds, and if they see something and they love it, they'll buy. It's unlike, you know, in the rural areas whereby you trying to sell and they asking, why should I support you? Why should I buy something from you?
Why should
why should I make you rich? You know, there's that jealousy. People, they see that they love your brand, but they like, no, me, I wear Adidas. Me, I wear Gucci, you know. And I don't know whether it's something with black people or white people. They also do that. I don't know. I'm not going to judge people here. All I'm saying is that sometimes you gotta support, you know, your black brothers in the hood, you know, when they do things like, no, support black businesses.
And right now, where is David Sling available? Where can someone get a David Sling T-shirt or a David Sling cap or a David Sling sweater?
We online at David_Sling. Mm-hmm. And we're working on the e-commerce site, social network. Well, we had a shop at the Commissioner in Resick Street. We had a shop there.
But the bricks and mortar concept is starting to be quite outdated now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's also very expensive for a young startup like yourself.
Yeah. Didn't get that.
I'm saying the bricks and mortar, the idea of having an actual physical shop that people must go to paying rent.
It's easy when you're doing it in consignment stock. Go to these big shops and you say, guys, can I put maybe my 20 t-shirts here and see if some of these guys, you know, they're not well established shops. You find people, they will run away with your stock. Like what happened at the CBD in Joburg, I don't want to go back there. What happened is the guy, he didn't tell me that he was owing rent. So a month later, when I came back, it was too late, you know.
Yeah.
He left with my stock. So
these are some of the perils that can happen if you're trying to go into business. Yeah. But at the moment, you can be found on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Insta.
Yeah. We're using social media for
What's
now.
What's your handle?
It's David_Sling.
Okay. Yeah. That's on Twitter and Insta.
Yeah.
Mm. And on Facebook?
On Facebook, I'm Olisi Kumalo. Yes.
All right, cool.
So, yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll get back to that. In the meantime, something really exciting. I told you guys that I watched the Grammys the other day. Did anyone else see the Grammys?
No.
So we're going to have a conversation.
No.
I'm going to have a conversation with two people who didn't see the Grammys.
No, wait, no, listen. Listen, okay.
Yeah.
I watched the highlights, you know, Beyonce, Adele, the red carpet. Yes.
What do you think of that Beyonce performance, though?
Wow, Beyonce brings it every time. And every time I think that, I have Beyonce figured, she's going to do this. Mm. She goes and does something totally different. Her and her creative team are just fantastic. Yeah. You know, they're amazing. I've said this before. I don't think she's the most amazing singer, but she is a performer. No, I don't think she's...
Who can be more amazing than Beyonce?
We can
Lady Gaga?
No, we can dispute about the pipes. We can have a debate. Yes, about that. But she is a performer through and through. I mean, she's pregnant with twins, guys.
Yeah.
And she's slay.
Yeah.
Come on. So that I just... I bowed down.
I was like, I bowed down.
Every performance, she brings it every time.
Yeah.
And, you know, she represents, you know, that, she represents.
That's someone who truly, truly is living in their gift.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm. She understands that the gift that she's been given by the Most High, and every time she goes out and performs, I don't get the sense that Beyonce's performing just for the audience.
Mm.
I get the sense that Beyonce's performing for the one who gave her the gift.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only way to perform. And whatever you do, whatever gift you have, you don't go out there just to please the crowd, because that's easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know with what I do, you can please the crowd very easily. If I wanted to, I could just go out there, do a mediocre acting job, and people
and
still
paid.
I get paid. People still, I'll be on the next show. Don't worry. People still be like, That was pretty good, you know, because you're on TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's only when you start performing in your gifting, living in your gifting, at a level at which you're not performing for mere mortals, you're actually performing for the one who gave you that gift, for the Most High, then that's when the manifestation of that gift gets to that level.
Yeah.
I agree. I also feel like Beyonce is the one artist, if she had to charge 40,000 rand for a ticket, I would not complain. Because I feel that she brings it. I see what I'm spending 40,000 rand on. Her production is on point.
Yeah.
The backup dancers, the creativity,
they
everything.
Give it all.
I mean, she had a said a hologram screen.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I can't fault and be like, but Beyonce, well, you missed that lyric. I can't. You look at it and you're just like, wow.
It's rehearsed.
And with live performances.
Yes.
With live performances.
Say what you want about her lyrics. Say what you want about her. But as an artist, you can. She slayed.
She's hardworking, yeah.
Mm.
Yes, she, that money.
The Carter family.
Yes.
Like, say what you like about them. Those people, bavukekuseni.
Yeah.
Okay? And they stay up till late working.
Yes.
They're not out there drinking. They're working.
They are working, and she deserves every single penny. She deserves every single dollar that she gets, because she's just that girl. And you know what? I'm just... Yeah, that's the reason. I don't watch a lot of award shows in general, but when I know Beyonce is performing, I'll go and be like, let's YouTube this.
I was sad that she didn't win anything at the Grammys, but Adele won. Now, I'm not saying that I'm sad that Adele won.
Mm.
I'm just saying that I'm sad that Beyonce didn't win.
Yeah.
I wish there was a way that they could have given them both the award, because I think both women really brought it in the past year. Adele's performance was also amazing. Once again, she stopped in the middle of the performance, made everyone stop, and started again in a tribute to George Michael, which was absolutely amazing.
But that's what I love about when you're an artist and you know who you are, you're able to do such. You're able to be like, you know what, this guys, let's have a
all
moment.
All right, stop. I'm sorry. I fucked it up. Oops, sorry. I'm sorry. I offended you. I just love George too much. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I messed it up. Can we start again, please?
Yeah. And we love it, and we'll watch it and be like, that was such an authentic performance, because
it was, though.
She's being herself. You know, if I came up and tried to be an Adele, I'd be like, yo, guys, I missed that note.
No, there can only be one.
And then people will be like, yeah, Bele, you missed it. What kind of singer are you? And then, you know, you're trending on Twitter. So when you are who you're supposed to be on stage, you get away with everything, because we just like, yes, we want you. We
but
want
then,
you.
She's also living in her gift. And what I loved about her acceptance speech, and I really enjoyed that about what she said, was she didn't minimize the award by saying she doesn't deserve it, in terms of, she was saying, thank you for this,
okay,
but in my opinion, the best artist, the album of the year, the best song should go to Beyonce.
Yes. Wow.
And she said that what you have done for black women everywhere, Beyonce, in who you are, is amazing. And I think that's something that's amazing, because Beyonce has done a lot for not only black women, but even black men.
Over the years,
right?
Yes. Okay.
And what I enjoyed is her and Jay-Z are still together.
Yeah.
Yes. Their family's growing.
Yes.
So there's all the speculation that's going on, right?
He cheated. He did what?
And you know what? It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, even if he did do that, what they're doing is they're being a successful black couple.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're showing us a successful black marriage. That, you know what? It's going to get real sometimes.
Yes, it is.
And that's normal. That's marriage, by the way, guys. If you're going to get married, be prepared that you're going to have it tough some days.
Yeah.
But We're going to keep it together. We're going to go to the Grammys as a family. There was the grandmother. There were three generations. There was the grandmother, the brothers and sisters, and then there were the couple themselves and their kids. They were all there.
Family's everything.
Family's everything, right? And they're now expecting twins. So, you know, say what you like. If you are hating, they're moving on.
Yeah.
One thing I also like about the Carters is that they've been very meticulous in terms of how they brand themselves and how they put themselves out there. We did not know about this pregnancy until Beyonce told us about this pregnancy.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, we did not hear
we don't
from
know anything until they tell us.
Until they're like, oh, I'm ready to drop an album, Lemonade. I'm ready to tell you about Becky and the good hair. We do not even know. We all speculate about what's going on.
But isn't the crazy thing about that Lemonade album, it's still, you can speculate as much, because the trick is, did it really happen or did it not?
Yes, because now she's pregnant. So it's a twist, because it's like, oh, first Solange beat you up, but now Beyonce is pregnant. Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
and they're keeping quiet. You can't, they're not going to say, I've not heard Beyonce do an interview and be like, yeah, Jay-Z is a bad husband.
Yeah, that she'll guy's got a roving
like,
eye. He's
she'll always
cheater.
Be like, I've learned so much from him. I hope he's learned. I hope he's a better man. So it's always like, wow.
And let's be honest, like, she's super successful. Like, I understand Jay-Z is like the Moreki of the world.
Yes.
Ultimate Moreki. But come on,
Beyonce,
I think Beyonce makes more money.
Yeah, she's got more money than Jay-Z.
You know what I mean?
And what I like about them is that they give you what they want. You know? Yeah. You can speculate, you know, and think, but you only see what they gave you.
But I think the mistake that I think some of us make is we want to aspire more to that, so we want to be that, but we forget that once we're that, we still have to be family, right? So I'm just saying to a lot of the young women listeners out there, you know, and I've experienced it, especially in black relationships, where it's like, you're making money now, so this dude, what is his, you know, he's not even a provider.
Why are you still here? You can do better now.
You know what I mean? And Beyonce has realized that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether she's making 100 million more or less than Jay-Z. And what's important is the family.
Yes.
We're doing this for each other anyway. It's for both of us. So I don't have to call you out and say, this year I made more money than you. So, you know.
True. Yeah.
And I appreciate that a woman who's that successful can still treat her family with so much respect and love.
Yes.
Oh, pride is like cancer, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It eats you up, man.
Yeah, it eats you up. It's not right. You know, when you're bragging, you can't really deal with people who are like that, you know.
All I'm saying as well is I'd like to see more successful black marriages in the media. I think we've gotten to a point where, for me, myself, I'm just tired. I'm tired of seeing either what we see in the media. I'm talking about television shows, movies, in the news. If you have money as a black couple or material success, then everything's falling apart, right?
Yes.
Love-wise. If you're in love, then you don't have material success. I'd like to see the perfect successful couple more, which is you got your stuff business-wise figured out.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean now you are someone's blesser. You're just, that means you're keeping it as a family and you're still in love.
I agree with you. And I also want to see, you know, more black people being successful and being able to say, no, we do have black excellence without necessarily confining. I think that's one of the things that got so many people talking. When Beyonce dropped Lemonade, everyone was like, what? We've never seen this side of you, girl. But the black culture has always been there. You know, we've always been black. We've always had the braids. It's
you
not something new because Beyonce is
even
rocking braids.
Your skin.
Yes, you see what I mean? So it's like, okay, you did this, but we also need to find a way to understand ourselves as a couple that, okay, I'm not the type of chick who wants to celebrate Valentine's Day. So we don't need to be on Instagram. We don't need to be on Twitter. We don't need to do that. But we're happy, you know. I think people need to also understand that, okay, there's Beyonce, but there's also the Obamas. There's Oprah. Okay.
Bring colors.
But she's
not married to them.
Yeah
they need to get married.
Yeah. You know,
Ojahela Mutola.
What's wrong with you?
It's fat and sit.
But I'm just saying,
on a major scale.
No, but I just feel like there's so many different kind of black success. You know, it's not just Beyonce and Jay-Z.
No, I agree with you. And that's
so
what I'm saying. So we need to see more of that.
Yeah.
And in South Africa, you know, in South African terms. Like, because let's be honest. Yeah, when we see it there and it's in Hollywood and in the States, it doesn't feel like it's really, 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 really part of us, really? Yeah. Is that us, really?
I think also if we had to say, if you had to pick a couple and say, but they are our Beyonce and Jay-Z, people are like, really? Yeah, yeah. No, they're not.
I'll say Connie and Shauna.
Yes,
I agree with you.
And I have a lot of respect for them, because you know what? It's not easy to work with your wife every day or your husband every day on the on different shows, like show to show. Like we're doing another show together, baby.
Yes.
And you know, and they've made it really work. Mm. And they're still in love. They're raising their children. I have mad respect for those guys.
Yes, but I also feel like we as a nation, as South Africans, you saying that someone will be on Twitter and be like, no, but they're not Beyonce and Jay-Z. They're not earning as much. No, they're not doing
as much.
No, they're
not. They're not.
They're not.
They're not earning
it's
as much.
It's just like, guys, really?
At the end of the day, they cannot earn as much. Our market is much smaller.
Yeah. True.
So, I mean, even if they've got the most successful show on South African TVs, it's like they're not going to make 50 million rand, because ain't nobody going to pay them 50 million rand unless they go to MultiChoice or the SABC with a hand grenade and AK-47s and demand it, okay? That's not how we work here. Until that changes, let's not even have those comparisons. The fact that they're able to make so many successful shows, love them or hate them. I'm not saying that I always love their shows, and that's only because I'm subjective. I don't necessarily like the style, but they're successful. And they're successful in their marriage as well, in their love for each other. And what more can you ask for?
Yeah.
I call them my Beyonce and Jay-Z of South Africa.
Yeah, yes. Also, I love them, the way they do their things, you know. You always see them together. I don't know. They are on the cover of one of the magazines now. Destiny. I saw that. And I think being friends, it's key. It's key. It play a major role, you know, when you are friends, you get along. Because, you know, when you have a PhD and your girlfriend never went to school, you know, you can't get along. You must.
you're classing us by education now. Why can't you just be with the chick who didn't have a PhD? Maybe she has a BA degree. What's wrong with that?
Maybe she has a doctorate in life.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
University of life.
No, but I hear you. You know, there has to be some common ground. Otherwise, it's like, oh, you're in those books again.
Okay.
I'm going to go out and get my doctorate in life. I'm going to the streets.
You know, you're sitting there in the restaurant and she doesn't understand. She's like, you know, making those funny
hors d'oeuvres. Why are we eating that again? You know what I mean?
What is that?
Yeah, you got to be friends. You got to find a common ground, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to Bishop Noel Jones, and he was saying, if people are not ready to celebrate you, who you are, your success in life, those people should not be around you.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times we get into couplings, and I'm glad that we're talking about this just after Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Because we get swayed by the fact that he's taking me on a nice date to this restaurant. Ooh, I've heard about it. I can tell my friends. I'm going to take pictures of the food. I'm going to take a picture of us. And then your friends are like, ooh, Chama, you should stay with him. And vice versa sometimes. You know, she's hot.
Yes.
You know, and she's giving it up. And your friends are like, dog, yo. You know, meantime, you guys have no real common ground. So you're living a very shallow relationship. And we sometimes end up marrying each other based on that shallow relationship, because everyone around us is so keen on our relationship because of what they see as extrinsics. But inside, because at the end of the day, when you're just alone, the two of you, you're dealing with inside stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure to maintain this fake lifestyle.
Yes.
And there's a lot of competition.
True, but I feel like there's only competition if you allow it in. So if we are dating, I think it's our responsibility to be like, okay, this is our relationship goal. This is where we see ourselves.
Yeah.
If I allow Wood Mang Mang or Sis Mang Mang or my friends, your mom, whoever, to come in and be like, yo, but did you see that picture? Did you see the restaurant? Did you see the car? What is he doing with his life? You start thinking, then why am I here? Or let's do more Instagram posts. Let's do more Instagram live posts to show the world that this is the happy couple, but in reality, I know nothing about you except that your shirt is pink.
No, I think most of the people, you know, they are miserable because they live a fake life most of the time. You find that they get into a relationship because of the wrong reasons. Okay, some might be attracted by beauty. Beauty alone, just imagine you're sitting with someone, you can't even have a proper convo together. You're always sitting looking at that girl. You know, you were attracted maybe by, say, by the caves, you know, the way they look. And the next thing you go, she took you maybe to Four Ways, the Palazzo Hotel, the most expensive stuff, and you just a taxi driver, you know. And
but I think what you guys are talking about, it comes down to the basics. We are worshipping money.
Yeah.
So we've made money a god. I'm just gonna name drop, if you will. I was just nominated, I see, for a SAFTA.
Okay. Yululating.
Me too.
Just mention that.
but there's context. Wait, there's context. Okay. So the character I play in that is a crazy guy. He's just lost his mind, right?
Yeah.
He's that guy who worshipped money. He had a lot of it, and then he loses it, and then he loses it. Okay. You know what I mean? Because his god is nowhere to be found. Because his god was money.
Yeah.
And that's what we are doing as young people in this day and age. We are worshipping money, because I've heard over and over again people at a point where they cannot stay together anymore as a married couple or as a couple in general. And someone will say something like, but my friend or wanaka, but that person makes so much money.
Yeah.
And you know, you've got such a good life. You've got a big house. You've got nice cars. You go on overseas trips. Why would you want to divorce that person who's providing that for you and for all of us?
True. Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest, number one reasons for divorces is financially.
Yeah, people don't get divorced because someone cheated.
we can handle that.
Yeah.
It's the paycheck that can't handle.
You lost your job? What do you mean?
I can't support you.
Get out. That's it. It's over.
Yeah.
So the moment that we put things into perspective, you cannot enjoy even having that money if your god is money. You have to have a higher power that, and then you can enjoy the money. The money just like, oh babe, I got more money. What do you want to do? Hey, let's have fun. Or, ish, Zimbi, I don't have anything at the moment, but you know, we can stay at home and have a picnic in the lounge.
And that is so romantic. Yeah,
you know
that I think people have. Back in the days, it was so simple. It was so much easier to take your girl out on a date. Backyard stees, do a young picnic.
That was
quality time. Now what we want the bouquets, we want the flowers, we want the chocolate, we want the wine.
We want a trip to Dubai.
Yes. You need to, and for my friends as well. Yeah, you need to not only take care of me, but my friends and my family that tag along, and it's like, but I just want you. But there's baggage. Yeah. I don't understand why. But hey, it's the society we live in, and it's thanks to social media as well.
We can change all that. I think we sometimes say these things as if we're powerless to change them. I don't see why. In fact, as I'm sitting here, I decided I'm going to do a post. Because the other day, I decided to cook at home, because I cook, you know?
Yeah.
So on this particular day, I decided I'm going to cook gizzards and chicken necks. Why? Because I just feel like cooking gizzards and chicken necks. That tastes great.
Yeah.
Sometimes my dad likes to cook marijuana, that sort of thing. Mm. But we never post that sort of thing.
Yes.
So everyone's thinking, that guy from Top Billy doesn't know those things.
The comments would be like, is he that broke that he couldn't afford steak?
I couldn't afford a real chicken, so I got gizzards and chicken necks. I mean, it doesn't matter. It actually doesn't matter what the comments should be, right? I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there that you don't have to feel less if you have to eat this kind of food. You can either eat this food because of circumstance, or you can eat this food because you want to eat this food. Either way, you don't have to feel bad about it. Even if it's a circumstance, even if that's where you are right now, you don't have to feel about it. You just had a meal. You should be thankful you ate something.
Yeah, you know, you've just reminded me. There were, back in the days, I saw one of these guys. He's a millionaire. He was eating a quarter in a private jet, you know. So it really doesn't matter what people think about you. What really matters is what you think about yourself.
Thank you very much, God. That is amazing. And on that note, we're going to give the next guys a chance to come in and set up. But I wanted to play out with something, because we're going to go back to that whole Grammys. I love the Grammys. It makes me feel like a kid again. You're watching this and I'm realizing this is what this whole entertainment biz is about, you know? The excitement of watching people at the top of their game performing just for you.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed Bruno Mars's performance. That's why we started off with that song and kicked off with that.
Okay.
And then he did a Prince tribute. He was amazing. I don't know if Bruno Mars could play guitar that well.
Yeah.
But you know what was amazing?
Yes.
Chance the Rapper won Best Hip Hop.
I was so happy. I was like,
for the first time.
Yeah.
He won three awards. And you know what? It's like Chance brought God to the Grammys.
Yes, he's
a monster, yo.
And he kept saying, I want to thank God. Remember back in the 80s, I
want to
thank God. Nowadays it's like, man, I just want to thank my manager.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed with that, because, you know, yes, I am a believer, but also he went up there and he won these Grammys and he acknowledged something greater than himself. And I think as any human being, if you if you're not working from a power source that's greater than yourself, like we are not,
you're nothing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're nothing.
So on that note, we don't want, you don't want no problems with us. And we're out of here, right?
Bye. Bye. Cliffcentral.com.